everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I am John Scott, your host here from Traverse City, Michigan. I appreciate everybody joining me today. I had a whole other podcast lined up. I was going to talk college hockey and Michigan Tech and recruiting and all this fun stuff, and we'll save that for maybe next week, another time. The college landscape is fascinating, how it's changed over the last couple of years. It's just really, it really is an interesting thing to look into and dive into if you're not familiar with it. It's just been completely flipped on its head with the opening up of the NCAA to the major juniors in Canada and the ability to get those players to come into the college hockey ranks, whereas before you were unable to do that. Those players were banned, forbidden, exempt from being drafted or picked or signed by NCAA teams. So they opened that up last year, and it's just been the Wild West almost. And we'll get into that another time, but it really is fascinating. But we had to pivot. Right now, we're doing this show because the last remaining big UFA, you could say, and big UFA nowadays doesn't mean much because there really is no big, large, seismic, unrestricted free agents anymore. Gone are the days when superstars would enter into the UFA talk. Those guys are traded and signed long before they ever become an unrestricted free agent. So this year we were left with, you know, kind of a second, third line guys, but it was Patrick Kane. He was the one guy who could potentially be a difference maker on anybody's team. Even though he's 37 years old, even though, you know, he's a little bit longer in the tooth, a lot slower than he used to be, he still has that hockey sense. He still has that game-changing ability. Last year with the Detroit Red Wings, he had a great season. He got out of there with 57 points in 67 games. He was a difference maker on that team when he was on the ice. Year before that, 60 points in 72 games. This guy still has great playmaking abilities. Is he going to put up 110 points, 106 points, 100-plus points like he did before? Actually, a crazy stat. When you think Patrick Kane, you think high-end talent, high-end scoring, like Hart Trophy-type material. He's only eclipsed 100 points twice in his career, which is crazy because you would assume this guy is just year after year after year, especially in the heyday of the Blackhawks back in the early 2000s, obviously the teens. He was consistently getting 80, 70 points, but he only had a couple breakout years where he was over 100 points. And that shocked me when I was looking at his stats because I expected, you know, 40 goals, 70 assists year on year on year, but that just wasn't the case. But he is a consistent 70, 80, 90 point getter. And now at this stage in his career, he's 60 points, maybe 70 points you can lock him in for. He's going to miss 10 to 15 games because of injury just because he's 37 years old. But he was very coveted. If you're a GM in this league, do you want Patrick Kane on your team? And the answer is absolutely yes. This guy comes with 3 Stanley Cups on his resume, Olympic, not champion, but played on the Olympic stage, very, very weathered vet. He brings that kind of cachet that you want in your locker room. And gone are the days that he was just this out-of-control teenager, out-of-control young 20-year-old who had a bunch of money and just a laundry list of problems. I was with him in Chicago when he had those issues, when the Blackhawks had to sit him down and say, hey, we need you to rein it in. We got a Stanley Cup window here, and we need you to be a part of it. We don't win Stanley Cups without you. So they hired him a personal security detail. They made sure that they protected their investment, which was Kaner. And then Kaner, for his part, he did his work too. Obviously, he had some slip-ups here and there, the Cabbie incident, you know, a couple incidents in Chicago. But over the last 10 years, he's been rock solid. He's got a family now. He's married. He's settled down. He's a man. He went from this 19-year-old kid in Chicago thrust into this situation where it's like, holy crap, I am in Chicago. I'm winning Stanley Cups. I have all this money. I have all this power at my fingertips, and it's hard to control. Now he's the grizzled vet. And so he could have picked any team to choose from in the NHL, literally any team. He could have picked his price too. Obviously, he wasn't going to go too high because he is 37. He is very limited in what he can do. But he could have took a $1 million contract and chased another Stanley Cup, which is what I thought he was going to do. When he told Detroit that he would not be back, he spent the last 3 years there. He said, I'm gone. I'm going somewhere else. I fully anticipated him to chase a cup. Because why wouldn't you? He hasn't been in the playoffs for a while. He had that cup of tea with the Rangers where they lost in the first round. But before that, the last time he was in the playoffs was with the Chicago Blackhawks in 2019-20. I think they made the playoffs. But then before that, it was 16-17. So it's been a minute before this guy has been in the playoffs, since this guy has been in the playoffs. And I just thought that competitive kind of drive would get him to choose a team like the Dallas Stars or the Avalanche or the Hurricanes or any one of those teams where he could have been a secondary piece to a really solid Stanley Cup contending team. But that wasn't the case. He was down to two teams, apparently, the Buffalo Sabres and the Chicago Blackhawks. Obviously, the Buffalo Sabres, we know the connection. Born in Buffalo, grew up a Sabres fan. The hometown kid. Would he go home and be a secondary piece for their Stanley Cup chase? That's where I thought he was going to land. That one made the most sense to me. Buffalo had the young team. They need some experience. They just lost Alex Tuck, who had that Stanley Cup experience. Bring in Kaner. He can quarterback the power play. He can mold. Not that they need mold any mentoring these young guys and Tage Thompson and all these other players that they have, but c'est la vie, that didn't happen. He chose the Chicago Blackhawks. And it wasn't a, you know, 1 year, $3 million deal, 1 year, $4 million deal. Kaner, he took him to the cleaners, baby. He signs a 2 year, $16 million deal, $8 million per, making him one of the highest paid players in the league, again, at age 37. That's a big ticket. And I was there doing TV for him when they brought in Nicholas Foligno. I think they paid him $4 million a year for that veteran leadership. And it paid out in spades. He earned every single dollar of that contract, and I think they flipped him for a decent return to Minnesota. So do I think it's a lot of money? Yeah, of course, $8 million. But when you look at Chicago's salary cap situation, they have so much money to spend. Like their salary cap situation is – they have lots of money. I don't know how else to say it. They just signed Connor Bedard to $15 million. They got Frankie Nizar making $6.6 million. Bertuzzi's making $5.5 million, then it's just a bunch of guys making $3 or $4 million. So nothing really that exciting. And then everybody's off the books in 2 years, other than Nizar and Bedard. So they have a very flexible cap situation. So if you're Kyle Davidson, I don't mind what he did here. The chance that Patrick Kane is even an option for you has to be surprising, because you were almost dead last year. Almost dead last year before, and dead last 3 years ago. This is not a good franchise. This is not a good team. And the fact that there is a player of Patrick Kane's caliber that has you on his short list, it must make you feel good. Because over the last 5 years, 6 years, Chicago has not been a destination at all. Players are jumping ship, trying to get out of there. Seth Jones was dying to leave Chicago after he signed that big ticket. He did not want to be there. So when Patrick Kane has a list and you're on it, you better damn well do everything you can to get this guy on your team. And kudos to Kyle Davidson. I'll give him full props for getting this done, because he had money to spend and he went out and he pulled the ticket, pulled the trigger, and he got Patrick Kane back on the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, why did Patrick want to come back to Chicago? It's legacy. That's it. Obviously, he's familiar with the area. He spent over a decade there. They drafted him. He loves the city. I don't think he really wanted to leave. I think Kyle Davidson did him dirty. Not really did him dirty, but he didn't extend him a contract when he was done in 2022, when he shipped him off to the New York Rangers. So for him to come back and to bury the hatchet and Kyle Davidson to repair that relationship, that says a lot. I think it's a good thing for the Chicago Blackhawks that Patrick Kane is back here. Will this thrust them into some kind of contention? No, not a chance whatsoever. But I do think this is a good thing to do for these young players, the Nizars, the Bedards, and the younger guys on this roster, because you can learn something from Patrick Kane. And I went back and forth on this because, yes, does Patrick Kane play a very offensive style game? Is he good in the defensive zone? No. What can Connor Bedard learn from Patrick Kane? Those types of skills are not teachable, if you get what I'm saying. Patrick Kane has this God-given ability to find space, to find passing lanes, to just be an elite player. You can't just pluck someone out of the blue and say, okay, Patrick's going to teach me everything he knows, then I'm going to be Patrick Kane. No. But, if you have a player with the caliber of skill as Connor Bedard, he will be able to steal some stuff that Patrick Kane is teaching him. Now, I shouldn't say steal. Learn from Patrick Kane. Will he become a Patrick Kane? No. Will he be better? I think so. Is Kaner going to be able to teach him his defensive prowess? No, because he doesn't do that. Kaner is an offensive force. He doesn't like playing defense. He doesn't want to take defensive zone draws. He wants to play power play. He wants to get on the go. He would yell at the defenseman when he would hold onto the puck for too long. Like, scream at us. Give me the effing puck. That's what he would say, like, daily. And you give him the puck because he can do good things. So the idea that he's going to come in and mold them and shape them, maybe not. But he will push them because the guy's an absolutely dog. He's a competitor. Is he going to make the defenseman better? I think so. He's going to force them to do things that they're not ready to do. Bowen Byram, he will scream at you. Alex Vlasic, he's going to get on you. Artem Leshevnov, he's going to get on you too. Sam Renzel, Delmaster, all these guys. Korchinski, he will make them better players. And if they don't get better, he will tear them down. Like, he does not have a filter. So I like this signing. I think it's a lot of money, but I think it's absolutely worth it. There is no world that this doesn't work out for the Chicago Blackhawks. Will they make the playoffs? No. Does this make them a better team? Absolutely. But the question does beg to ask next year. Obviously not this year. He's not going anywhere. He has a full no move clause. But just say he's 38 years old and it comes around to trade deadline and he's got 30, 40 points and he's still putting up good Patrick Kane points and teams come knocking. Do you think they flip him again for a guy? Do you think Patrick Kane wants to go somewhere else? I don't know. But it says a lot about him and his character that he foregoes any type of personal team success. He foregoes team success and chase of a Stanley Cup to just maybe cement his legacy in Chicago. Like, this is where he wants to settle down post-career. He obviously likes the area. He wants to plant some roots and start his life post-hockey. He'll be 40 years old when this contract ends. And this is it. I'm guessing he stays in Chicago long-term. So it's smart for him. He's foregoing chasing a Stanley Cup. He doesn't want any of that, you know, notoriety. He just wants to play hockey in Chicago and have some fun doing it. And he gets to play with one of the best youngest players to come along in a long time in Connor Bedard and hopefully mold him and kind of propel him onto greatness where he once was 15 years ago, winning Stanley Cups when he was a young 20-year-old kid with the Chicago Blackhawks. So good on him. I think this is a great move by Kyle Davidson. I think it's a nice humble move by Patrick Kane to come home. I did not expect this whatsoever. But this is a win for Kyle Davidson, an absolute win, one in which he needs one because he signs Connor Bedard for $15 million. That's a good contract. Then he gets Patrick Kane. So it's been a good couple of weeks for him after just a disastrous move when he picks up Bowen Byram for the fourth overall pick. So good for Chicago, good for Kyle Davidson, and good for Patty Kane. I like this. It's very romantic. How can you not like him coming home to where it all began? All right, moving on. Jason Robertson, the Dallas Stars. He was heading to arbitration. I actually wanted to see this one play out. I was interested to see what the arbitrator was going to award Jason Robertson because this is a guy who has just consistently put up 40 goals, 46, 45, 41. Like, he is as consistent as they go. And last year, he puts up 96 points, 45 goals, 51 assists, has an incredible year. He was making 7.75. He files for arbitration. He wants a long-term contract with Dallas Stars. He loves Dallas. Supposedly, the Seattle Kraken offered Jason Robertson a massive contract, $15 million per year, $120 million total, but he turned it down. He ultimately signed the $12 million bridge deal to stay with the Dallas Stars. We'll see how that goes. That's a gamble on himself. When you look at his contract status, he now is becoming a UFA after this season. If he gets hurt this season, he's done. If he has a down season, the contract will be less. That's a big gamble to say, I'm going to turn down $120 million guaranteed money to not go to Seattle. Well, A, it says a lot about Seattle, but B, it says a lot about how much Jason Robertson loves the Dallas Stars and how much he just believes in himself and his ability. He wants more money, maybe, but he more importantly wants to stay with the Dallas Stars. So how big is this for the Dallas Stars? This is massive. This is absolutely seismic for this team. This Stanley Cup caliber team that always gets buried by the Avalanche and the Minnesota Wild and the Edmonton Oilers, they have picked this era where they've just run into three really high-end teams that they cannot seem to slay that dragon. This is huge for them. They obviously have Mikko Rantanen. They got Roope Hintz. They got Wyatt Johnson. They got Matt Duchene. They have a really good roster. The back end solid with Harley and Heiskanen and Lindell and the Tyler Myers who came over last year. They have a great goaltender in Jake Oettinger. So all the pieces are there, but they needed that trigger man. They needed that guy who was a consistent threat, and that's Jason Robertson. I don't think this team works without him. And he signs the 1-year deal. And it's a smart deal by him because they lose Tyler Seguin contract next year. He makes $10 million. So the money will be there next year. And he wanted to be, get compensated for his efforts. So they give him the same amount as Mikko Rantanen. Next year, he's going to sign for $15 million. I bet you it would not surprise me if they already have a deal in place. One of those deals where Jim Neal says, hey, we'll have more money next year. We can't give you enough this year. Sign a 1-year deal. Next year, we'll sign a 7-year deal, $15 million, and everybody's happy. That would not surprise me if they already have that deal in place. But Jason Robertson is 27 years old. He's a proven goal scorer in this league. And for him to just, much like Patrick Kane, but it's a completely different situation because Kane has won his Stanley Cups. He's made his money. He has already made his mark on this league, and he's able to pick a spot to go and just play hockey and have fun. Jason Robertson has not won anything. He still is chasing that Stanley Cup. Yes, he's made a lot of money. He's made a ton of money in his time. He signed. This one was 1 year, $12 million. I'm sure like he's made 30, 40. He's got 4 year. The last contract was 4 years, 7.75 per. So he's made a lot of money. But he hasn't made that money that changes your life and your grandkids' life and your great-great-grandkids' life. And this was his opportunity to do so. And to turn down $120 million is a big deal. That's a huge gamble. So I'm hopeful it'll work out. This Dallas Stars team desperately needs to win. And based on the Western Conference and how things are going, they have that window. It's them and a few other teams that are the juggernauts in the Western Conference. And for him to say, yeah, I'm going to stay. I'm buying into this team. It's fantastic. And I fully expect, I pick the Dallas Stars every single year to do really good. Last year, I picked them to win a Stanley Cup and they bowed out in the first round. I was hugely disappointed. But for Jason Robertson to get this contract done, it's fantastic. So good for him. Good for Jim Neal, who is one of the best GMs in the entire league. Like, these guys love him. They always sign team-friendly deals and it just works out well for him. All right, moving on. The Philadelphia Flyers. They have been doing some work. Obviously, they threw out that massive contract offer to Leo Carlson, $18 million. He accepts it, and then the Anaheim Ducks have to match it. So it leaves Danny Briere in a position of, okay, what do we do next? The next thing on the list was Trevor Zegras. He filed for arbitration with this team, which means they go and arbiter agrees on a number. Then Philadelphia has to say yes. If they don't say yes, he becomes a free agent. Everybody knew he was going to say yes to whatever the arbitrator offered, but they didn't even have to get there. They just signed a $9.15 million contract for 4 years, which at the end of that contract, Trevor Zegras will be 29 years old and become an unrestricted free agent. I think it's a good deal for both party and player. 9.125. It's a big number. Trevor Zegras comes over from the Anaheim Ducks, where in Anaheim, he was not good. He had that one breakout season when he was 21 years old. He put up 23 goals, 42 points. 42 assists, excuse me, for 65 points. And then they expected him to progress. The next year after that, he gets hurt. He only gets 15 points. And the year after that, 24, 25, he puts up 32 points in 57 games. He was butting heads with Pat Verbeek. Nothing was working with the Anaheim Ducks. They wanted to get rid of him. They did not like the way he played. So they shipped him off to the Philadelphia Flyers, where last year he was a revelation. He was having fun again. He enjoyed coming to the rink. You could tell he gelled with the coach, Rick Tocchet. Everything seemed to work for him. He was playing solid defensively. He was a new player, and he was only 24 years old. It felt like this guy had been around the league for 10 years with the amount of drama that seemed to swirl around him with the Anaheim Ducks. Goes to Philadelphia, gets a new lease on life, puts up 67 points in 81 games, was fantastic in the playoffs for him. So they reward him for it, give him $9.125 million for 4 years, and then he becomes a free agent at 29 when he's going to cash in another lottery ticket. So great on Danny Briere for getting this done. I feel like if you're Trevor Zegras, you could have potentially gotten more. It's funny, nowadays, $9 million doesn't seem like enough for a player of Trevor Zegras' ability and potential. He's put up only 26 goals last year, but boy, oh boy, does it feel like he could get 40 goals? I think it definitely does. So a good deal for him. And then he turns around and signs Jamie Drysdale, another guy who was an RFA. He signs him to a $6.5 million deal for 4 years. So he'd be an unrestricted free agent as well at the age of 28. But Danny Briere, not so quietly, has just positioned this team for a large run, like 4 or 5 year run of young, talented, good players. And he still has a lot of money to spend. Jamie Drysdale, one of those type of defensemen who's a big body, plays physical, gets up and down the ice. I guess he's only 6 foot, but he plays bigger than he is. Makes a good first pass out of the zone, and he's just a solid player. he too came over from the Anaheim Ducks, never really gelled again with Pat Verbeek. I think that's a common theme of players leaving the Anaheim Ducks, where they just don't gel with the GM and the coach and the system and the culture that they have there, where it's very oppressive, very, you know, thumb on the player. You have to play this way or we're not going to play you. Whatever it is, that did not work for him. He goes to Philadelphia and he's been playing well. Put up 32 points last year, and I think the sky's the limit for this kid. He's only 23 years old, and you reward him for it. You sign him to a $6.5 million deal, and all of a sudden the Philadelphia Flyers, after losing out on Leo Carlson, they still have $14 million in cap space. They got a good young core with Zegras and Tippett and Cates and Forrester. Then you got a good young defenseman with Drysdale, Travis Sanheim, obviously Cameron York. They have a mix of everything. They got two quality goaltenders in Joseph Woll and Dan Vladar. It's not a bad team. Do I think they're Stanley Cup contenders just yet? No. Obviously, Porter Malone and Matvei Michkov too. That goes without saying. They still have money to spend. And Danny Briere wants to make a move, but there's nothing to be made just yet. But I think he has shown that, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win. Obviously, going out and trying to get Leo Carlson was a huge deal for him. Swing and a miss, but it says a lot to this team, and it speaks volumes to the players in that locker room that, hey, we're not messing around. We want to win the cup. We're going for it. And re-signing these guys, Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale, is a step in the right direction. So good on Danny Briere. Good on Kyle Davidson. Good on Jim Neal. Very rare where you see three good deals, three feel-good deals that just make sense for the player and the team. And I love it. Usually I'm negative. Last episode, I was just screaming at the top of my lungs for to say, I hate Steve Yzerman. I don't hate Steve Yzerman. But it was a very negative episode. So it's nice where we can have a nice fluffy one where everybody's happy, an emergency episode. But Patrick Kane Showtime signs with the Chicago Blackhawks. Good for him. Everybody's getting paid. Everybody's feeling good. I appreciate the support. This was a quick one, but they don't all have to be 35, 45 minutes. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have a good weekend here. We're nearing the end of July. We'll get into August soon. And the next thing you know, camp started and away we go. The NHL season has started. So again, appreciate the support, everybody. Have some fun this weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.